A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
G'day, Tommy. It's Ben Vanel here. I have to be the bearer of bad news for you, my friend. You're going into stage four lockdown. You specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. You have been deemed a danger to yourself and to society, and you will be locked in by yourself. Joining me on the outside, as always, is Adam Knox.
Yeah, I hate to bring more bad news to the table straight away, but speaking of stages, you got stage two cancer again. Sorry about that. It's made its way, but I know, terrible timing for it as well, because there's not a doctor who's going to touch you, but it's the way it is. You gotta live with it for a while at least, but not for long. Hopefully that's the silver lining.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was pretty sad about not being able to go out at all under the stage four lockdown, but hopefully before too long, I'm too weak to be too concerned with even leaving the bed, so this is kind of a bit of a blessing in disguise, all things considered.
Woo-hoo-hoo! You really had to just step that up, didn't you, Knox? You really
just
had
the word
to
stage.
Just...
It was all I could think of after the word stage and then a number. Because I kept searching on Twitter stage four because of lockdown, because there was a rumor that we were going into the, you know, another worse stage. And it was a whole bunch of people talking about how they had cancer, and it made me even more sad that the lockdown and at least gave me perspective as to, like, we don't have real problems. But we do have a real solution, because we got a special guest this week. Hey,
yeah, we've got we're kind of trying to broaden out the reach of the show a little bit, so we're welcoming in for the first time our jock correspondent Nick Cody.
Yeah, you boys played UFC? It's fucking sick. Bro, the best game ever.
All right, Nick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks,
lads. Log off the chat now and we'll just
players online. I'll knock anyone out online. How's it going, lads?
Yeah, good. How are
good,
you?
Good, man. Good. Mm. I just want to quickly circle back very quickly to something that Adam said before. I do have to take umbrage with the fact that you said that the only other stage that you could think of is cancer. Mm. They're the things in video games, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yep.
Did that really not come to mind at all?
Yeah.
Is the bloke on Family Feud just shaking his head going, fuck. Of course that's number one.
I shouldn't have said fucking someone else's wife. I've really got in hot water here with the missus. Should have said anything else. Stage 4 was also trending, Knox, because Fortnite released some Stage 4 thing. So
really?
There was this huge Stage 4 conspiracy. Yeah, yeah. I didn't look into it, though. Not interested.
But like Dan Andrews plays Fortnite.
Yes. Yeah.
Bloody dictator Dan. He'd
the
be more into
outlook
playing,
of Adam Knox.
He'd be playing Command and Conquer or something like that. Hey, fucking dictator Dan taking over.
Yes.
Bloody hell.
Yes.
That guy who's managed the pandemic, one of the best in the entire world. Mm. Yeah, it's gotten bad again, but he made me wear a mask.
Wearing a mask is fucking great. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. I said this in our group chat the other day. I like wearing the mask. It feels it feels cool. I feel like a ninja or something.
There's no point in wearing a mask if I'm already wearing a big white hood. There's no point. I'm implying that everyone who doesn't is a extreme racist to the point of joining the clan.
Yeah, the clan, sure.
Tommy's got cancer. People are in the clan. I'm a renegade today. I'm feeling
strong.
I like it.
Came out of the gate hot.
You know what a fun video game would be? Some kind of arcade style game where you're a security guard and you start almost like Donkey Kong's reverse Donkey Kong style. You start up on the top floor of a quarantine hotel and you have to have sex with a different isolated return traveler on every floor and make your way, avoiding the press, make your way down to the bottom floor into freedom. And that could be a lot of fun.
It gets harder and harder as you go down because your character like starts moving more slowly because they're like coughing and spluttering everywhere. They start struggling to breathe, but by the time
they have to keep stopping for the high fives of everyone they pass when they learn how many people they've fucked. You know, it's really going to slow you down.
Now, all I can think is that is that bloke forever, if he's still married, he's in big trouble. Like the amount of chores you have to do. I don't want to take out the bins again. Remember when you locked down the whole city because you fucked someone in quarantine? Dickhead. All right, I'll do the bins. I'll do the bins.
Even if it's made her like not, you know, trusting of him in their relationship, I reckon I'd still stay married to him just for that. You've effectively got a legal slave at that point.
True. I mean, I was going to say the idea that the marriage has withstanded that is unbelievable. Like if you don't have spreading COVID to the family and starting a second outbreak as one of your deal breakers, like that guy, I would argue that it's kind of the reverse, like the legal slave thing, sure, but that guy now knows that he can do anything. Like it, even just like cheating again, as long as it doesn't start a second outbreak of a virus, is like, hey, he's not improved as bad as last time, and he didn't dump me for that. So
all of her friends being like, I don't know, I think it's a red flag.
Well, that's it. Surely this is not the first dumb thing this guy's done. If he's of the mindset of going to the extent of fucking people in quarantine, he's had a long. He's the Forrest Gump. He's done dumb stuff throughout every phase of history. Surely.
Been in every stupid moment along the whole way. He's in the background when Abbott got elected.
He must just be living in permanent fear that his identity is going to be leaked in some way. Like you'd be fucking terrified of that getting out somehow.
His identity probably came out. Do you remember when they leaked the names of all the people on Ashley Madison? I'm sure that his name's out there since then.
Yes.
But Cody, thank you for joining us. We decided to get you on because I was telling Ben and Adam that you have been you've been texting me a fair bit recently because you've been getting, as of what, a few months ago, you've been getting a lot more into gaming. Like you bought a Switch and you've been texting me about playing Breath of the Wild. And
yeah, I got a Switch for Christmas last year. I used to play a fair bit of games, but then last couple of years, married, had a kid and do Brekkie Radio and gigs at night. So there's not a bunch of time. But at the minute, my wife and son are away. So I've had 2 weeks at home by myself and I'm back in. Like, what a great excuse to fucking smash through some games. I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing a very different style game to what I used to. Like, my favorite games of all time, probably the Fallout 3 and Fallout 4.
Yes.
Mass Effect 2. I don't know. And Madden, of course.
Yes.
Nice. One apocalyptic game, one space game, one gridiron game. You know how the top three always goes. But I've been playing some like shorter story style games. Like I just played What Remains of Edith Finch. It was fucking great.
Yeah. We talked about that when it came out. I think Knox and I, we played it. Did you play it, Tommy?
That's the one where you're exploring the house and finding all the little you guys really liked it, right? I didn't love it. I can't remember what it was about that I didn't particularly gel with.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the thing that us three smart people on this podcast liked about it was that it was a very sweet story that was told in this really unique way. And it was like, it's kind of, you know, everyone fucking dies in it, you know, spoiler, but that's the premise. So it's kind of it's real melancholy and nice, and it created like a really a sweet mood. I thought
it was super creative as well, like the all those different game styles, the like I think that when you go into, is it the cannery with the fish and the way that that sort of blends the storytelling with the gameplay, it's not something you see enough
when you turn into the hawk and the shark and all those different things. Cool. Cool use of different devices. It was a bit of fun. I've just then I picked up No Man's Sky. I'd never played it.
That's kind of interesting. Because what's it like coming to it for the first time now?
Man, it's fine. But I just know my wife and son will be home any day now, and this isn't something I can jump right into. Like, the amount of things, you just have to build too many things. It's like, hey, you want to hop in your spaceship? You need this. Oh, sweet. Where do I find that? Well, it's actually made up of three things. All right, where are they? Well, those things are actually made up of seven things each. You're like, fuck, no, I'll just stay here. I'll have a look around here for a bit.
Do you know what? If you do want to get into it and you want a little bit of time off from the wife, I know a hotel you could maybe go to.
I'm glad that you specified that the wife and child, for the listener, that the wife and child are coming back, because just saying... My wife and child are away, and I've been getting back into gaming, boys. I've bought No Man's Sky. Really sounded like this is a permanent arrangement.
Yeah. I say they're coming back, but it's probably paying like $1.40 on Sportsbet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a lock, but it's pretty safe for a multi. The thing about No Man's Sky that it did make me realise, how sick is mining? Fuck yeah. I'm going to become a FIFO worker. Just go blast some copper out in WA.
Yeah. I think that's a problem I always had with like games like that and all those kind of survival-y ones and fucking Minecraft, obviously, is that thing of the drudgery of like, oh, man, I'm just waiting for this shit to come out of the ground. That gets to me really quick.
Yeah, working. Like the Stardew Valley. Just keep going down that mine. Then you've got to go out to go home for a bit, and then you go back in, and once you've got your energy back, you go, I'm doing a swing shift at a mine. Totally.
It's like when you go to sleep and dream about being at school or at work, and then you wake up and you're like, I got to go to work.
Yeah,
it's
like, I just did that.
I didn't get any time off. Yeah. But I think that's why people like those games, right? They're time killers. I think a lot of people like listen to a podcast or have the radio on, or like they get into that sort of flow state of like, yeah, mining, and then I'm planting, and then I'm sleeping, and I think it's relaxation for some people. Whereas I think for a lot of gamers, and I think people like us, we relax by playing like a story or something like that, where we get sort of lost in that experience.
Well, that's the thing, because I always imagine the character in all those games where you're just constantly working, being like, oh, fucking hell, every time that they wake up, they'd be pissed off, they'd be... fucking yelling at all their friends and their loved ones because it's not you, but I'm just fucking stressed.
Farmers that are constantly yelling at their loved ones.
Yeah,
I'm farming again.
Yeah. Make a Minecraft, but like, you know, as it goes on, all of the characters' relationships crumble apart. He develops like a liver ulcer. You just end up having to go to a divorce lawyer.
God, I hope that's the next update on Animal Crossing, just the Burning Bridges update.
Have you guys all seen Interstellar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is how I feel about No Man's Sky, because you mine, right, and then you build all this shit, travel into another galaxy, and then just mine again, which is, it'd be like if Matthew McConaughey's character gets back to where his daughter's older than him, and then she's like, you're going to farm here now? He's like, oh, fuck, I guess so. It's like, no. I'm not traveling across different galaxies just to fucking mine again. Like, I beat it. I don't have to mine anymore. I built a hyperdrive, for fuck's sake.
We've been growing corn here still. No one's been tending to the corn. Get out there.
Have you gone back in on it recently, Ben? Because it's one of BV's favourite games.
Yeah, I have, actually, weirdly, about a week or two ago. Because I watched this really good video on YouTube. It was like the complete history of No Man's Sky, and it was about the release, you know, and the death threats to the developers and how they like buckled down and fixed it. And so I was, inspired to go back in and play it. And it's good. It's a great game. It's very, very feature-packed now, where it literally used to just be mining, Cody. It used to be like wake up at the ship, and you'd put the ship back together. It was a little quicker even in the original one. And then you'd just get right out there, blasting around galaxies, mining stuff. And there was nothing else really in the game. So like base building and shit like that, interacting with other players, that wasn't in the game when it was initially released. It's cool. It's sick. You can like party up and fly around with people and raid freighters and
oh, shit.
I guess do quests and stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that far in.
Yeah, right.
I thought an alien was talking to me in the chat, and then I just realised it was a bloke in Brazil. It was Portuguese. I was like, hold on, I've seen this language before. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is there an upside down question mark? Hold on. I know this.
Wow. That's
I just
so,
thought I was like, what's going on?
Language.
Fucking hell, the Riddler doing a handstand. This is fucked.
I was making the character sort of shrug. Sorry, mate. Did German and Japanese in high school. Out of luck.
That's a problem with those sorts of... I mean, there's heaps of time at the moment, so whatever, but I was reading a couple of reviews of Ghost of Tsushima, which is a name I struggle to say every single time because of the two, like, half T's, half S's near each other. But it seems like it's going to be one of those ones that demands quite a lot of your time to get what is there out of it. And I'm just sort of... it's a strange time to be saying that I'm sick of it because the wife's away forever for me, but the idea of something wanting that many hours again, I don't know if I can be fucked at the moment.
Imagine if the podcast just ended here, like your whole pod just went, I'm fucking over games, guys.
I'm over games.
I guess, actually, yeah, I suppose I really hate video games.
Yeah, I've been pulled back into Animal Crossing. Speaking of games that you can just empty all the time in the world into and just be doing real fuck all monotonous life stuff, I'm back in. I'm saving up. I'm doing all the town planning. I'm buying the inclines. I'm doing the fishing. I'm putting new rooms on the house. I'm paying off the mortgage. I'm completely sucked back into all of it. I think it's almost like if something's going to take a lot of my time, I kind of like the idea that I could be doing it forever. Not like, you know what I mean? There's like there's a 50-minute story that's like that's going to take me ages to do, but I will hit the end of it. At a certain point, it's like critical mass. If I'm putting so much time into this, it may as well just be infinite.
I felt like that with Fallout 4. I got very close to the end and turned up. The route I took was with his son, with father. Fuck, what's he in? The fucking science blokes.
Yeah, the robots underground, right?
Yeah.
The Institute. Right?
Thank God. Yeah, people are going to be screaming. So I went with them, and then I'm going to fight the Brotherhood of Steel at the very end. I rock up to the airport, and then I realise, no, I haven't even seen a lot of the map. I sort of cruised through the story, and so I just sort of left a fight. Like, I shot a few things and then went, I've got to go. And I've just left. That fight's just going forever.
Dad's going to get a packet of cigarettes, sorry. Yeah. I'll be back later. We'll fight him one day.
Just want a refreshing Nuka-Cola and I'll see you guys in a bit. Keep the fight going. I'll be back.
With that Fallout 4 definitely happened to where at some point I get like a bit overwhelmed by it and then something with a bit more of a clear direction comes along, takes my interest away from it, and then I never go back to the more open-ended thing. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Mate, you're just really down about games. Oh, no.
Man, yeah. I'm trying to keep my mood up for all this, but fucking hell, dude. Tell you what. Oh, boy.
No, I love it. I just love going building to building, trying to find everything in Fallout. That's my favorite thing, just walking around. I've got two sweet guns. Nothing's fucking me up. I've got a silly top hat on. I'm going to take shit on. It's a great
time.
Have
you ever thought about a career in like being a gas meter checker? If that's what, just building to building, having a look at stuff, you might love that. You'd be a weird one wearing a top hat all the time and packing heat, but it sounds up your alley.
Is the guy who checks the gas meter the guy that also built the building?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, he might own a house at some point. He's got to check his own meter one day, surely. If he's built his own little town there.
Cody, how have you been finding Breath of the Wild? Because you were texting me a little bit when you just started playing it, and you know, having pretty similar responses to, I guess, a lot of people and us, of just like the overwhelming sense of freedom and exploration about it. How are you going with it recently?
It does fall out up a bit in the way that it's like, oh no, I can really just go anywhere, climb anything, do whatever if I want. Like, I love the fact you can just, you can from the start, as soon as you jump off that island, go wherever you want. You're probably going to die, but have a look. I loved it. I played it a fair bit over sort of a couple of weeks in Christmas. And then just had ages off and got back into it a couple of weeks ago. I'm currently inside a large elephant. I know, again, I've just... Yeah. People will be yelling at their phones or whatever they're listening to this podcast. And I forget the name of the large elephant I'm in. I'm just doing the puzzles in the large elephant. I just love it. Again, just run around, glide off a thing, have a look here.
Yeah. It's Baba, the name of the elephant.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I just sort of a question that I wanted to ask you, Cody. I'm kind of interested in this because you work, if anyone doesn't know, Triple M, if you're from another country, it's like kind of a rock station that plays the footy.
Rock and sport comedy.
Triple M. Rex football.
That's the one. BT.
And it's very mainstream. It's like along there with the top of the big radio stations, big TV channels. And it made me wonder, because you're like probably more plugged into that mainstream type of entertainment thing than the three of us, who are all pretty alternative. I was wondering if...
I literally work for one of Cody's competitor radio stations. We should be doing this.
Where are you at?
I'm not going to say. I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. I'm behind the camera. But it's one of the sport ones.
Oh, all right.
But go on, Knox.
It's sensational. But
very good.
Question that I had was that I was wondering, in the time that you've been doing that, what are the big video game things that have bled through? I'm always fascinated by like things that don't normally have anything to do with any video games. When they're like, we have to talk about this Fortnite thing, but we don't know what the fuck it is.
The thing about Triple M, I guess their demo is probably like, I don't know, 35 to 45 or 35 to 50-year-old men. So to get any gaming stuff in, the best, like the other week, because I'm on Triple M in Brisbane, there were two Brisbane high schoolers that made it to the final of a FIFA World Championship. They just happened to be at the same high school.
Oh, they made it separate. They weren't a team.
No, they were separate. They were playing against each other.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah, and it's weird that you can bring that up just based on local. Like, hey, this is local and it's sports. There's no sports on at the minute. And people are like, fuck yeah, what's this about? You know what I mean? Like, generally,
right?
It's just how you introduce something to someone. I don't know. I think they're fairly cool, as long as it's a big enough story that would, and especially with sports.
Right.
Now, like, we've had supercar drivers that called in because a bunch of the supercar weeks, they just started doing e-racing.
Yeah, that happened with footy as well. The AFL Gaming Network or something popped up because, they were all in lockdown. And that's the thing about sportsmen, at least, is they all are gamers. They all play FIFA and NBA 2K and stuff like
Fortnite.
That.
Mitch Robinson, who plays for Brisbane Lions, is like a mad Fortnite player. So he calls into the show a bunch and I'll just ask him about Fortnite.
I guess it kind of makes sense, because if you're a competitive person, you'd be drawn to a whole bunch of different types of video games. I just found out over the weekend that, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, the American, she's like real good at fucking League of Legends.
Oh Jesus!
Oh wow!
She plays it a bunch. She like posted something being like, in isolation, I made it to this rank or whatever. Pretty proud of it. And then it was all these tweets replying to her going like, you should be fucking working on the Constitution more. And just like, as though she doesn't ever have downtime. Fuck off.
Well, I don't, you're in the comments. I don't mind, you're in the comments there simping for AOC, weren't you, Knox?
Yeah. Leave her alone.
I don't mind this as a regular checking in with Cody about the times that... you know, just keeping an eye on, checking in every couple of months, how many more times a video game's intersected directly with the Triple M Breakfast Show in Brisbane. How well, much are turnips going for on your island Animal Crossing today? Give us a call.
1-3-3-5-3, the hardest boss you've ever come across. Not your actual one.
Icy cold cans of Rockstar energy.
It fucks with the algorithm in Google News because I've got to read so much news every day. Occasionally I go to Google News and it's like stories for you. There'll be a mix of like shit I'm looking at for work, shit I'm looking at for my personal life, and gaming stuff that's all... Poor Google's like, well, I don't know, just fucking let one person use this account. It feels tricked. So my wife and I sharing our Netflix account and, you know, we watch very different things and the poor... Yeah, poor Netflix doesn't know what thing to recommend us because it's getting two different people's views on there. But, yeah, again, if you can make it like... It is weird, people. As long as you can, I don't know. There's sometimes with gaming stuff that you want to talk about. Yeah, like the supercar races that are all of a sudden, they're not competing in actual cars. They're playing against each other and you'd find out different drivers have got different setups. Like some of the V8 supercar drivers had these insane setups in their house and another bloke's just got like a shitty steering wheel and pedals that he's borrowed from JB and he's going to have a crack. And I think some guy in the US... In the US, got busted. He said his cam kept going down, but he was getting like a professional gamer to take over for him for laps.
That rules. That fucking rules.
And then there was a NASCAR driver who dropped a very bad racial slur on the stream. He didn't realize he was on.
He's the realest gamer of them all.
He wins.
He's been playing for years.
He wins immediately.
And then I believe his excuse was like one of his grandparents are Japanese and different race that he had a slur for, but he's pulled that out.
Oh,
so,
no. Yeah. It's not even I've got a black friend. It's my grandparents Japanese. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm a lot
of the issue there, champ. Yeah. But, yeah, I guess those stories always, yeah, they can bleed into a more mainstream thing.
I was going to say you could do a rock up on Monday and do a phoner about the big twist in Last of Us 2. See if that does anything to the phone lines.
Yeah.
That'd be very funny. Mm-hmm. Dropping a big chat that contains a massive spoiler for a video game.
Oh.
just on breakfast radio.
The best thing about Triple M Brisbane though is I could literally give away the entire game and nobody would pick up on it, or you know what I mean? It's like if I came on here and read out the Brisbane Broncos starting lineup and say, hey, I've got a hot tip for you. It's not going to upset anyone. Nobody had any idea what was happening anyway.
I'd be annoyed that my time was being wasted, but...
the starting lineup.
What's one that you're... Oh, let's try and think of some that you can try and sneak in there then, because I'm guessing like common things for breakfast radio would be like... what's an awkward text you sent to the wrong person? That sort of thing would come up when there's like no news going on. It's like a good, you know, bread and butter thing to go back to. So maybe something along those lines.
People have been at the minute with lockdown. Obviously, when Brisbane was in lockdown, I'm in Melbourne, but I do the Brizzy show. But when Brisbane was in lockdown, parents were calling in saying their kids got them into different games. And they were enjoying it.
Oh, cool.
Whereas growing up, my dad loved games. So I never, I don't know what it's like. Like, he got me into, I had a, like the original Nintendo, the first Zelda game. Dad probably put more hours in than I did. You know,
wow.
He loved it. And he used to play Sonic the Hedgehog. This is the most annoying thing. I remember as a kid going, fuck, Dad, what are you doing? He'd try and find every single thing in the level, but it also meant he'd be walking around with Sonic, which is like...
That's such a dad thing to do.
Just slowly crawling around. Hold on, what's up there? No, is there a coin in there? No. All right, let's walk around here. Hold on. What's down here? And you're like, don't fucking walk with Sonic. That's the whole point of Sonic.
Presumably too, the way those levels are designed, you're always like, you're constantly kind of like bumping into a spring that's propelling you across the level. So presumably he's doing that and then having to like screech to a halt and then walk back to where he was. Fuck.
I wish this guy would just slow down. Just take your time, Sonic. Why are you rushing?
I hit a spring. I got to restart the level. I went too fast. I probably missed something. It's like when you're on a holiday and it's like, don't rush around, kids. Look out the window. Appreciate things.
Yeah.
But for Sonic.
Fuck, it was so annoying. Fuck. But yeah, I am lucky to get some decent gaming time in at the minute. But I'm trying to find more of those short games. Like a good short game. What would you recommend for a ripper?
You should, okay. I mean, people that listen to this are probably sick of hearing us talk about this particular game, but something from the start of the year that we all loved was Kentucky Route Zero, which is...
How long
does that take all up? It's a story game. It's like story-driven. If you like, you mentioned Firewatch Edith Finch. Like, it's very story focused. It's mostly text based. It's kind of like a weird book with some light kind of moving around and stuff, but it's fucking awesome.
Now, when you say light moving, because I saw the I saw a trailer for it and it looked at times like a bit like Limbo.
In the presentation, kind of. It's like very highly stylized
silhouettes
in the way it looks. But it plays more like an old adventure game, kind of. You're just sort of moving between different characters and reading the very well-written shit they've got to say. It's more like watching like a video game adaptation of a really good play.
All right. Sweet. Mm. Yeah, Kentucky Route Zero it's came up a bunch of times in like, if you like this, you would also like this. Mm. I did get tricked, though. I got some game on Switch. I forgot to write it down. I got some game on Switch. It annoyed me so much. The voice acting in it was horrific.
What was it? God, I want to know what this is.
What was it about?
Was it the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild? Is that... that's pretty fucking bad voice acting.
It's called The First Tree.
Okay. That sounds annoying just from the title.
A third-person exploration game centered around two parallel stories, a fox trying to find her missing family and a son reconnecting with his estranged father in Alaska. And you run around as this fox. But the voice acting on it, fuck, whoa. I just put it down. I deleted it. I paid for it and about an hour later just deleted it.
I love
the ultimate disrespect.
Yes.
Dr. Disrespect is back. one I can definitely not recommend that I've been playing this week is called that I am about to do a similar thing with of just deleting before finishing it. It's called Superliminal.
You're that pissed off with it, Nox.
I don't like it at all. It's like it's not terrible. It's just it's one of those ones that's so fucking middle of the road that it almost makes it worse than if it were bad. You know what I mean? The premise is cool where, and I feel like they showed a demo of it fucking ages ago, where you pick up an object that's close to you and it's small, like a chess piece, and then you move it in a certain way so that it kind of looks with the perspective like it's at the back of the room, and then when you drop it, it will become that big, enormous chess piece that's up the back of the room. Does that make sense?
Well, like people do with pictures of like the salt flats and shit where they do that and their friend's standing in there. Yeah. Look how little my friend is.
Literally exactly. That. Optical illusions,
You take a photo of your dick with like a fun size Mars bar next to it, but then you hold your thumb over fun size so no one knows, and then everyone thinks it's huge. That exact same sort of thing.
Why is there a texter over the number next to the word grams? Ah, don't worry about it.
Nah. Just, I think they ran out of ink because they were printing
that's
this
centimeters.
Huge Mars bar.
That's how many centimeters, not grams.
But so, yeah, it's like a puzzle game based around pretty much moving fucking boxes in rooms to make them big enough to jump up a ledge. That's the most recurring puzzle. But then it's like, try and look at it from this direction and you'll see like all this paint on the ground will turn into a box. You know, it's that like long angled painting that from the right angle looks as though it's flat.
Yeah.
Yep. That sort of stuff. It's a cool idea, but none of the puzzles are good. They're all very easy to solve in your head and realize what you're meant to do. But then a lot of them are based around kind of moving boxes and moving platforms and shit with the physics in the game, which fucking suck. So it then becomes you bashing your head against trying to drop this ramp in such a way that it actually lands on the top bit rather than just falling over to the side and like not working correctly. But you know that's what you need to do, but it isn't fun to follow through on it.
Right.
And then it's got this fucking terrible writing that it's trying to be like a Portal or something where it's like a fun, hey, we got this like sarcastic scientist or whatever, or like a voice trying to guide you through these things because like you're asleep in these puzzles. And it's just written in such an unfunny, derivative kind of way where it's exactly the same as Portal. The type of sense of humor that it is there's like a calendar in one place that says Sunday, murder, Monday, murder, Tuesday, murder, Wednesday, murder, Thursday, murder, Friday, murder, Saturday, beans. It's that type of sense of humor.
That made me smile. I mean, beans is a funny word.
Nah, it isn't.
Admit. Come on.
I'm going to download it just so I'm going to download it just so I can delete it as well.
It's all that shit of like the test goes wrong and then like the scientist's like, this is meant to happen. Don't look to your left. Don't worry about, you know, like just that sort of lame sub Monty Python kind of fucking randomish humor that none of it. No, and it looks bad. It runs badly on the Switch that I bought it on. Maybe it doesn't on a PC or whatever, but yeah, I do not recommend it.
It's also really short, right? Like I've seen people be ambivalent on it, sort of like it, but in that case be like, and it's really short for how much I paid for it.
Yeah. I've played it for about 2 hours and I think I'm getting towards the end, but I don't know if I'll be bothered to finish it off.
Yeah, I think if you want a good version of that, you mentioned it a few times, Portal is good. I don't know if you played that, Cody, but Portal is a great game. It's simple, first-person puzzle game.
Portal's the Half-Life. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. I played that back in the day.
I don't know what you'd be able to get that on anymore as well.
Nothing. Windows, nah. PS3, nah. Oh, I did find a PS3 here the other day.
Oh,
wow.
Cleaning some stuff out.
Fuck.
I just had a box with old tech in it, and there's a PS3 there.
You'll get $100 for that on Facebook Marketplace.
Yes.
Well, there's a few games now, your Mass Effect and a few others, and I'm like, oh, fuck, Fallout 3. Love to have
there's
a
bunch of... Man, the PS3 was fucking sick, and by all accounts, a lot more of those games will be available again on the PS5 is what it seems to be they're going in the direction of, but we'll see. Hopefully. That'd be nice. It'd be good to be able to play everything that there is.
Yeah. Mm. That'd be so good.
Yeah, I remember I got that the Mass Effect trilogy on PS3. It was that box set of all three games, and it never came out on the PS4, and they were like three of my favorite games.
Yeah, people hated the ending in number 3. Hated
Yes, they did. Yes, they
did. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. I think we've talked about it, Nox, maybe.
Yeah, I weirdly went back and played, I think, 2 and 3, like over Christmas. That's what I did with like the spare time I had then. Mm. And I think part of the problem with the ending of 3, and the same with a lot of the time when you get these fucking big criticisms from huge groups of fucking video game players especially, is that it's misplaced anger over some other element of the thing. You know what I mean? Like with Last of Us 2, I think a lot of criticism is that sort of thing about certain emotions it brings up or whatever. But with 3, it's like the whole thing with all your choices branches out so much for 2 especially that they all have to come back to a point at the end to resolve it. And I think that thing of people feeling that their choices didn't matter as much as maybe they could have is like partly just a mechanical inevitability with how a game has to be built.
Totally. But the game is not going to turn to the player and be like, we appreciate the 11 years that you've put into playing these games, your name specifically, and you've done a great job. Like, that's what can happen. And people like want that, I think, subconsciously, right?
And like the game did sort of imply that it was going to give you that by like all your choices will matter at the end and stuff, and a lot of them didn't. But like that's just sort of the reality of, you know, that you can't make 748 different endings depending on, like it's not going to happen. But then when it first came out as well, it did kind of wrap up a lot quicker than it does
with the version you'd have played, Ben, if you got the trilogy thing, where they added in like DLC basically for free to beef up the ending and make it better. So the initially, when it first came out, the ending was worse than it is now.
Okay. Okay.
But it wasn't
terrible, I think. People had the issue with like the three choices, right? That was the thing that they were most pissed off about. And the ghost boy.
That ghost boy did come out of nowhere, to be fair to people's criticism of that ghost boy. But that's what ghosts do, I guess. They tend to show up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing of like, oh, I guess the rest of playing these three games didn't matter because now here I am at the end with these three kind of rote choices that aren't influenced. I think if literally they'd have gotten rid of you making the choice and have made one of those three choices for you based on what you'd done for the rest of the games, people wouldn't have had a problem with it as much.
Good call.
Does that make sense? Maybe. Like, the fact that it gave you that choice that could go against all the other shit you'd done from the other two or three games, you know what I mean? The fact that you could kind of go back on that at that last moment did make all of that stuff seem like it was pointless. But ultimately, everything's pointless. So
I think I agree that, like, artistically, it'd be better maybe to have a set ending that they'd thought about. But I think that in terms of the gaming community, people would have been more pissed off. I think that's what we've seen with The Last of Us 2, right? People are like, I wanted a different ending.
But you have those three endings or whatever that you just don't, it hides the choice there. It makes the choice based on all those decisions you've made through the other three games. It tallies them up in some way that gives you the most appropriate choice for the end.
Right.
For that character.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, who gives a fuck, man? It's all coming to an end soon. There's not enough time to play Mass Effect.
You've been playing some games, Tommy, right?
What have I been playing? Yeah, I've been dipping in on a couple little things this week. I was going to ask Cody, does your dad still play games?
Good question. I'm trying to think Fuck, I should check with him because he was always like a big fan of those. I remember when I lived at home at, I don't know, 18 or whatever, he was playing a lot of like Civilization and those style games where it's... What were the other big versions of those?
Because I was going to say, speaking of Firewatch, you should recommend that to him as a fan of what he was doing in Sonic the Hedgehog. I think the pace of Firewatch would be right up his alley. That's basically what he was trying to do in Sonic the Hedgehog. Was just kind of like stroll around and take it all in.
I give it to him and he turns it on and he's like, where's the fucking sprint button? I'm like, no, Dad, no.
Fuck, all right, we've got to find something between the pace of Firewatch and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Now, Nick, could you tell me where in this game is the very fuckable hedgehog? When does he show up? I don't know what it is about. Like, even people who are fans of Sonic for regular reasons, I always just assume they want to fuck Sonic. The same as the
Sonic
weird fan.
Has the most fucked character in video games. There's the most erotic fan fiction and art of Sonic. It's, I don't know why.
Is there?
Yeah, man, it's fan fucking nuts. It's, We've found our call-in subject. Which of the Sonic characters do you want to fuck the most? Now, we know you want to fuck all of them, but you can only pick one for the purposes of this.
133353. If you had to root a character from Sega Mega Drive... Who is it?
131166. Call us up, and if you reckon if you lifted up each one of Tails's tails, do you reckon he'd have a separate asshole underneath each one of them, or it's just one asshole under one of the tails?
I want to get a hand job from Goro. Was he the guy with four arms from Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
Man, I haven't played a Mortal Kombat since Mortal Kombat 4. And I see that Mortal Kombat now has like a story that's meant to be heartbreaking. You're like, what the fuck? I'm just trying to do the splits and punch someone in the dick. I'm not here to cry.
It's kind of fucking good. It's really weird. Like, it's silly as hell. And they're still going like, listen, Scorpion, you can't do that. Like, they're trying to have this emotional story with characters named Sub-Zero.
That's like on Madden where you take someone and you start with them in college and then there's this thing and you're meeting an agent and talking about sponsorships. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I just want to play Gridiron.
Yeah.
What percentage of the Gatorade deal should you give your age? What? That's not what I'm here for.
Yes. So I've been playing 2K20, NBA 2K20. It's free on PS Plus for anyone who has it. Oh, who has PS Plus?
PS Plus, I swear, it's like as soon as I buy a game, a week later, they're like, good news, man, it's free. It's just got purchased written there. Nothing annoys me more than seeing purchased. Fuck.
That's what happens when you come into a console the year it's being discontinued and the new one's coming out.
Yeah.
You should have held on. But yeah, 2K, it has the story mode. I'm sitting there like holding down X to skip every cutscene, but it's got like Spider Mitchell and LeBron James is like in the final scene of the story mode. It's like, okay, this is cool, I guess, but I've played 3 minutes of basketball in the past 4 hours. I don't understand who those are for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine being good enough at a sport in real life that a video game was like, this guy should be the final boss of this video game. That's fucking awesome. I bet that's the thing LeBron James is proudest of.
What was the Michael Jordan game on Super Nintendo?
There was Jordan versus Bird. And there was...
But it was like a story game. Jordan, Windy City?
Yeah, Michael Jordan in the Windy City. Yeah, yeah. A platformer?
Oh, yeah.
Chaos in the Windy City.
That sounds like a British reporter doing like a live cross to Chicago.
Yeah.
Chaos in the Windy City today. Michael Jordan slam dunks so hard that an earthquake is whatever the fuck that game's about.
Well, sorry, gents. That was coming through then.
Is that the music for Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City?
Yes.
Oh, no. This guy's playing it through. Yeah, you just run around and dunk in this sort of side-scrolling game.
Do you want to hear the plot? I've got the plot here.
Well, I also love the playthrough. I love when you see like a SNES or Mega Drive playthrough and the game goes for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would have been like a massive game. It's such a small amount of time.
Well, it's crazy that they can cram this much story into it as well, because a little before the Scottie Pippen charity game, Michael Jordan's teammates are abducted by mad scientist Maximus Cranium. The protagonist must save them before it is too late. In the 90s, they really didn't know how to write a fucking story about basketball, I guess. Hey, it was always like Michael Jordan's
got a million
got
miles
either...
away from Space Jam.
It's exactly Space Jam, right? I just aliens instead of mad scientist.
Well, there was also... much like Scottie Pippen in real life, his game's number two here because there was Slam City with Scottie Pippen on Sega CD.
Oh, that's such a Scottie Pippen thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
In the game, players face various opponents in one-on-one games of basketball. So it's like Super Punch-Out, but for basketball.
What's up, everybody? It's Scottie Pippen, and my new game's coming out on the Nokia N-Gage this month. Everybody, please, go get yourselves a copy.
Holy shit. The designer of the game Chaos in the Windy City is Amy Hennig, the lead creative behind Uncharted 2 and 3, one of the great games developers of all time.
Is that like when like a famous comedian's Hey Hey It's Saturday set comes out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I thought Windy City. I thought Windy City had been buried.
Her doing the Michael Jordan game is the equivalent of that thing where Peter Hellier comes out and does that weird dance at the start of his Hey Hey.
Oh yeah, with the backwards with the backwards Kangol. Yeah.
Kangol hat.
The Jordan Jive.
Michael Jordan.
I did one of those walkthrough videos I saw the other day. I was trying to find more information on What Remains of Edith Finch. That's how much time I've got on my hands at the minute. I'm trying to find more info. I see a video, like a walkthrough, and I click on it, and it's an American YouTuber who just talks over this game, like a game that is designed to be walked through quietly, and you take the story in, and wow, that's fascinating. Oh, that's so sad. That's tragic. I found she's like, oh my God, look at this. What's that? Just screaming over it.
That you've like, perfectly summed up all streamers. Oh my God, look at this. That's every single one of them.
Yep.
One of us, I think you'll find, Ben.
One of us, yes. Go to twitch.tv/filthycasuals.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that Ubisoft stream because we did do a we did our own. Yeah. Me and Ben talked over it. You can go have a look at that on our YouTube channel, I think, if you want to know the very mild things we thought about that very mild presentation.
Yeah. Watch Dogs Legion, I'm into, although there was a bit of controversy about that, actually. I don't know if you guys saw. They've been criticized for using the, you know that quote, it's like about fascism. It's like, first they
if
came
you can't
for
handle
these
me at
people.
My best. Oh, right, sorry, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you know, first they came for the blahs, then they came for the somethings, and I said nothing. And then they, it's that, you know, it's a very tropey quote. And they use it in the Watch Dogs thing as like, to apply to the game. And people have been like, that quote was actually about the Holocaust and you shouldn't do that. Which is just, I don't know, I think that is an overreaction. I understand sensitivity about certain, you know, historical and racial things, but that's literature, that's art reflecting other art. I don't know,
That's not a big fucking deal.
It's good to know as well, Ben, that you are sensitive to things related to the Holocaust. It is nice that in this era, you do have to almost come out and say, hey, heads up, guys, I wasn't a fan. Like, otherwise, you're just on the fence. Silence is violence.
Honestly,
good fighting topic for Monday morning, Cody. Take the pulse.
Holocaust.
Take the pulse
yes
of the Triple M Brisbane listeners.
There's been a lot of talk about... a lot of talk about the Holocaust lately, and I want everyone to know that I was never a fan and that the Holocaust taught me it is not okay to be weird. There's like anti-tributes coming out.
They also revealed Far Cry 6. Oh, what did you guys think of this? I sent this to you, Cody. Have you played any of those games?
I believe I played Far Cry 3.
Mm-hmm. You've played all of them, man.
On PS3. I've missed 4 or 5. Will that affect 6?
No, you're fine. It's pretty much the exact same formula as with 3, but they've done it a few more times, which everyone is assuming is what 6 will be. It's a good formula.
I feel bad. I weirdly will not play a game just based on the graphics. Like, if the graphics don't catch me, I just go, when I first got Fallout 3, a mate said, man, you should try Borderlands. And I got it and went, yuck. Never played it. Not the one video. Yuck. Don't have time. Next. And Fallout, Far Cry 3, I had that vibe. And then I saw this video for 6. I don't know. It just didn't give away too much.
No, it's there's nothing about all it's really saying is like, hey, guess what? Fucking Breaking Bad guy's in here and there'll be some sort of civil war going on. See you later.
Him being in it annoys me for some reason. Like, I think he's great, but it's a... I don't know, them having him in it, it's a little bit too, like, check this out. Isn't this cool that we did this? Does that make... It just... I don't know, something about it just kind of rubs me. It's just kind of like... It feels
it's
a bit
casting,
like chasing clout just because you've got the cool guy from Breaking Bad in it. It's totally that, yeah.
That is exactly what it is. And I think it's fair to not like it. Cause, and I think not liking a game straight away because of its graphics is also fair. Like, you're going to be looking at it for fucking ages. So
yeah,
if you don't
I think that's just a matter of taste. You're allowed to have taste. Yeah. And also, gaming is subjective.
Tell me if I'm wrong. He's trying to make his son grow up pretty quickly in that short video. But his son's got ice in his veins. He's putting together a model car while people are trying to raid his house. He's like, hold on. There's this little fucking... Got to get the rear view mirror on there and there's fucking Molotovs coming at the... It's like, that kid's fine. Just leave him alone. Yeah. He'll do it's, what needs to be done when necessary.
Save the hand grenade for later. Yeah, just hang on to it. You might need it at some point. Mate.
Nowhere near the first time he's seen a grenade. He's probably thrown one before. He's like, yeah, okay. This is one of the things I've seen over there.
He's way more chilled out than Dad.
Mm. Yeah.
He's so relaxed, that kid.
Same as pretty much all of Ubisoft's kind of lineup at the moment. It does just it is fair to presume that it will be more of the same thing they've been doing for a fairly long time now. Same as Assassin's Creed Valhalla. As much as putting it in, you know, Viking times is cool. I don't know. I'm pretty checked out of most Ubisoft stuff at this point.
I forgot. Yeah, you just reminded me of something. Actually, sorry.
Cook a whole deer or something? What have I reminded you of by saying Viking?
I just heard my wife and son come home. I've got to get the grenade and make a point. you just reminded me when you said Viking thing. God of War. Love God of War. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yes. One of my favorite series. I love it. And then the latest one, I started playing and haven't, I don't know, it's just sitting there. I think I should go and play that.
Oh, go back. Is it as good? It's like the best one.
Yeah. Especially because you've played the previous ones.
Yeah. But I get teary over father-son stuff. And now I've got a son.
Yeah.
And I just think that'll be, yeah.
I tell you what as well, I was doing it to like the fucking dog I had at the time. You'll be calling your son boy a whole bunch after playing it. Like,
yes.
That God of War is great. It takes a little bit longer to get cooking than those first three did, I guess. Mm. But when it does, it's great.
Yeah.
There's that God of War when you're just on a flurry, just destroying a room full of stuff is one of my favorite. Just the combo.
Did you play either of the Last of Us games? That's father daughter rather than father son. But hey, we're all the same, baby. Everyone's a human being.
Yeah, of course.
Dude.
You know what? I just got the first one because I never finished the first one on PS3. I don't know what happened. So I'm just playing through. I'm probably halfway through the first one at the minute.
Sick.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see what you think of two because it's been a very divisive game.
Mm. I don't know if I told you, Tommy, the thing that got me about it is it's that third person but at a slightly, I don't know, it doesn't say, it's a bit like Resident Evil-y, that,
like
I don't know, the angle and
bit.
The, yeah.
Yeah, you did, Mitt. Yeah, you know what, you mentioned that to me and that, like I'd kind of never noticed it and then when I went back to play it again, I kind of hated you because then I couldn't stop noticing it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, fuck, he's planted this in my brain and now I can't unsee it.
I'm going to throw this bottle over there and then it just hits the crate right in front of you. You go, what the fuck? I covered one eye. Where's my depth perception?
Like when
I got Escher mode turned on.
You ever noticed, I don't know if we brought this up before, Tom Cruise's middle tooth? That's the same thing. What? Along the top row of his teeth, one of his teeth is set in the middle of his face.
Dead center, yeah.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look him up right now. It's fucking, it's crazy. Type in like Tom Cruise tooth or something and there's images where they've drawn.
No, I'm not putting that. I will put Tom Cruise face because I'm not.
Sure, don't bias yourself,
but
I guess.
Hold on.
Smile, maybe? Tom Cruise smile.
Yeah.
The third picture is...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, it's smack bang in the middle, hey.
Yeah.
Like most people have those Last of Us teeth. But he's got that middle of the camera fucking GTA teeth.
That's fucking weird.
That's so funny that you type Tom Cruise face and most of them are just pointing out like, look at the tooth. Look where the tooth is.
I think it's
one
just
of the most photographed people in the world and that's... Yeah, that's weird.
It's nice to know the traditionally handsome people have flaws, I think, is why.
Mm. Mm.
Finally, Tom Cruise has something that could be considered a flaw.
I did all my own stunts. Yeah, we get it. Your fucking tooth's in the middle, bro.
Yeah.
When you trip over and knock one out.
Yeah. That happened falling off the Burj Khalifa or whatever the fuck you were doing. How's your tooth in the middle, bro?
Do me a favor, Tom. Can you just... say the word Thursday. I want to see how you say it. You're into Scientology, are you?
Well, do we have anything else to touch on from the news of the week, or should we?
You sent me the Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Oh, yes.
That's right, I did.
Dude,
what are your thoughts?
Cannot wait. Yes. I used it, man. About six or seven years ago, did a Melbourne to Sydney. Did it. On the PC. Flew Melbourne to Sydney.
That's fine.
Man, great.
Skip the middle bit.
You can fast forward the cruising bit. Just take off, cruise, whatever. Land.
That sounds actually
I didn't
sick.
Land I'm... very well. Like, it would have been on the news. It was
rookie
not a good news story
kills
at the
half
end.
Of the passengers. Yeah.
That is the next natural step for you is like you going full Iron Maiden style and having your own plane that you fly around to gigs interstate. I would love to see that trajectory. Just your face painted on the side of a fucking commercial jet.
But just like a Cessna or something.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I had an ex-girlfriend give me a like a scoop on a flight lesson. I'm like, I'm not getting on a fucking scoop on plane. That's not how I'm going out. To try and fly. Oh, yeah. I have been in one of those in one of the flight simulators before. Pretty sweet.
Oh, like the full proper cockpit recreation.
Yeah, like there's one at Melbourne Central.
Yeah.
And they'll do, it's like, oh, you think you're pretty good? Well, now we're going to put you in a storm, take out one of the engines, land in the rain in Hong Kong or whatever. Like, Jesus, all right. Throw me in the deep end. Yeah, it was good fun. I don't know. I like the look of this game. I think it's one of those, if you're looking for a game where you just relax and you don't have to worry about anything, nothing could be better for you than a Microsoft Flight Simulator.
I did not know that you were legitimately into these, Cody, because I chucked this in our group chat of like, you know, because Cody likes to fly. I did not think that you literally played Microsoft Flight Simulator.
I did. I cannot stress enough. It was about 6 years ago. For a couple months, I got into it. It's almost as if I'm saying I smoked ice for a while or something. Guys, it was a small period in my life. I was at rock bottom. I'm trying to fly into Sydney from Melbourne.
Occasionally, I would do some social flying at parties.
Occasionally, on a Saturday night, would head to Melbourne Central, hop in that bad boy simulator. But yeah, it looks awesome. The problem is, though, I've got an Apple computer and a PS4, so I don't know how I'm going to get it. But it did look pretty sweet. Have any of you ever played it or interested in it at all?
I'm super interested in this one for some reason. I think the idea of sitting there, I want to buy one of those fucking dumbass joysticks with that costs like $700 and fucking get a model train.
You think it's just a joystick? Get on Reddit and look up people's flight simulator setups. Whoa. I just had a joystick that I use. Man, people get four screens going like they're in an actual cockpit. Four
that
curved
is awesome.
Monitors. Then they've got, you can buy actual actual things for the simulator. So you've got the foot pedals, you've got the proper board in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Like the flight deck. Man, people
pressurize
go nuts.
The office.
I'm going to get one of you guys to come around and threaten me with a box cutter.
Yeah, I want to get in that thread, and I've just got the most dinky-dye shithouse set up. Like, it's just my laptop on my kitchen table, but I'm dressed in a full captain's outfit that I've hired from the costume shop. Like, just throwing myself in the thread, like, check me out, boys, I'm one of you. Woohoo!
I hire someone to come in and give me shit coffee in a polyester suit. thank you. Just there.
Get a little kid who's feeling
just take really long.
Well, kid, this is the pulley or whatever. Whatever's in the plane.
The pulley.
The pulley.
Yeah, you got to pull the fucking
landing. Thinking about abseiling.
I hope someone mods it to put Leslie Nielsen and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in there. That'd be fucking sick.
Yes. Yes.
I want Microsoft Passenger Simulator, where you start in the middle seat of a Jetstar flight and then you slowly work your way up to first class on an Etihad flight or something.
Yeah.
You can just load in a bunch
Buttering
of like
the aisle.
Connect your Netflix account to it and watch movies as you go through.
There'd be so much paid DLC though of like, oh, you gotta fucking pay for the lunch on Jetstar. Okay. Alright.
Walk through security with coins in your pocket. You feel like a fucking idiot. You got to turn back around, put them in the tray. Sorry about that, sorry. Oh, fuck, my laptop's in my bag. Sorry, that's coming back. Yeah, but it seems like they've put in it's got to be decent because they've put so much effort into it. Like, it looks incredible.
It does. It looks, I'm not sure if it's just like sort of the landscapes that they've shown at the moment because they're quite near to airports and those ones have like higher detail, whatever. But if it has, I mean, it's like the whole world. And if it has all of that mapped out with, I fucking love looking at a map of the world that has all the hills and stuff modeled in 3D. I played but like fucking walked around in the Google Earth VR thing for fucking ages, just being like, look at that, see like the fucking tree on fire over there. Got a lot of that. Like a, just a worst tourist. But it's fucking really cool. So being able to fly planes, you know, over a bunch of that shit, that'd be dope.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you can also just take a Rex plane to Broken Hill. If you want, you know what I mean? Got everything. Got everything for everyone. That's when you know you've got something wrong with you, when you do like a Melbourne to LA, but you just sit there the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. For 14 hours.
I can finally see what the Avalon Airport actually looks like, because I never.
You'll learn this too, dumb plane nerd fact, that when you fly overseas, it takes longer to get to places because a plane's always got to be within 3 hours of an airport that it can land at. That's how long a big ass plane can go on one engine.
That's interesting.
Right.
So when you go to the States, you go to this weird sort of thing over these Pacific Islands and, you know, you take this longer route because you have to be close to a place where you can land.
That makes way more sense now.
Anyway, I'm going to go watch my box set of Air Crash Investigations again. I'm just really enjoying my time by myself. And things are going well. I'll be back. And
fuck, if there was a way to get Cody this flight simulator, we should review it. It'd be great. It would be the perfect combination of guest and game. Because, like, I don't know if we would even review this game otherwise, but
I did intend to play it.
I will.
Yeah, I'll probably play it. But yeah, fuck, that'd be fun.
Let's
check back in when it's out. We'll try and we'll work out a way to get you involved. Well, we'd better wrap it up for another week on Filthy Casuals. Cody, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, guys, thank you very much for having me.
You've got your podcast, Mid-Flight Brawl, with Luke Heggie, which is all about airline
fights on planes,
ruckuses,
air rage incidents.
Yes.
When we started it, we're very interested in an air rage news story, and we thought there'd be a few. There are literally thousands. Like you're more likely to be on a plane where someone kicks off than not. There are just so many stories. It's awesome, and each week we cover a different one.
Sick.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Very silly.
Check that out. We've got our Patreon, which you can support the show and get a bonus episode every week. We've got the premium Bandcamp episodes that we've been doing. Check all of them out. Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find the links to all of that kind of stuff. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
13, 11, 14, call up and tell us which Mario character you think is the coolest, please. 13, 11, 14 is the lifeline number, luckily.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.